Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the living bread. Amen. Today we get into the meat of John 6. Last week we heard about the living bread and Jesus said, "I am the living bread." This week we learn the kind of bread that Jesus insists that we eat. And it's not available from the supermarket or the bakery or from your own kitchen. Nope. It's only available from Jesus. And it has everything to do with his death and resurrection. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread I will give for the life of the world, wait for it, is my flesh. You see what I mean then? When I said, today we get into the meat of John 6. Let's observe some good things that God reveals in our text today about this. Number one, the meat of John 6 is not something you just hear about and so feast on by faith, or conceptually just in the mind, but something, or better yet, someone you see. In the text it says, "But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everyone has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except him who is from God. He has seen the Father." You see what I mean? It's not just something you hear about. It's something also that you see. You can't just hear it and believe alone. You have to also, in this sense, see it and realize that it's in that person, Jesus. It's kind of like that phrase, "How did you miss the elephant that's in the room? It's right there." Some people are blind to the elephant. I guess that's why they had to have the Holy Spirit to open their minds to see the elephant in the room, which is God in the flesh in Jesus. There's an error. It says his hearers didn't just reject the word of God, they rejected the physical sight of God, God in the flesh and blood of Jesus. Or as he was called in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word. So you can't just have the Word without seeing where the Word goes. It becomes flesh and dwells among you. That's the meat of John 6. Number two, the meat of John 6 doesn't spoil. Not bad. All the meat we put in the fridge, freezer, eventually goes bad. You have to throw it away. Listen to the words used in our text today. Jesus using these following phrases. "I will never cast him out. I should lose nothing. I give him eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day." Meat that spoils has a shelf life and an expiration date, after which you throw it away, never to be seen again. Meat that endures to eternal life cannot spoil, doesn't smell of death after a length of time, does not see corruption. If Jesus on the last day is raising up others, not casting anyone out who comes to him, he himself, the meat, therefore, doesn't spoil. It's even attested to elsewhere in the Bible. When Jesus goes down into hell, it says in Acts 2:27, "You will not let your Holy One see corruption." Quoted from the Psalms. That Jesus, even in his death and the risen body, goes down into death, into hell, Hades, and God does not allow his flesh to see corruption. It can't spoil. The meat of John 6 never spoils. In fact, it raises us up on the last day in our bodies. Number three, the meat of John 6 is real food. If you live in the real world, which you do, then you are concerned with real things. When God talks about things like the ark to Noah in the book of Genesis,
He wasn't just talking about the concept of an ark, a proverbial boat that you can build in your mind. No, that would have flooded Noah out if he didn't build the real, actual ark. When he talked about the temple in the book of Exodus, he wasn't telling Moses, just think about this structure, what it could be like. Wouldn't it be nice if... No, Moses had to go out with the people and bring all the builders, the wood and everything, the curtains, to build a real temple. And Israel understood, and they built a real tabernacle temple. When God told them to put bread on a table in the temple in the Old Testament, he didn't mean just in their minds. Just think about putting some bread on a table to feast on there in your hearts and call it the imaginary bread of presence. No, he told them how to make the bread, what the ingredients are. Real ingredients, real baking, real eating by the priests. And when God descended into the temple to speak to the high priest, to speak to Moses, the priests came in, they ate the bread of presence. Really? So, what should we say about the bread Jesus discusses in our text today? It may be too complicated to believe that Jesus meant anything other than what he said plainly in our text. The bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Well, now, wait a minute. You don't mean that. You really want us to eat your flesh? Surely this is just faith eating, not fleshly eating. Figurative language, not plainly understood as stated. But you know what? If you look closely at the text, there's no like here, no as, no metaphorical language, no compared to, no in a parabolic parable kind of way. Just the words as plainly as stated. The fact that many of Jesus' own disciples turned that day and left Jesus, saying, Jesus, this is a hard stain. Who can accept it? Is proof that Jesus wasn't mincing words. He didn't say, oh, come on, guys, I didn't really mean that. No, he just stood by his word. And people either had to stay with him, and like the disciples said, Lord Jesus, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Stay with whatever you're saying by faith, or they departed. It's either they got it, I think they all got it, and said, yep, we're with you, or nope, we just can't do it. You surely either mean something else, or you're just crazy. People understood that Jesus was talking about real eating, real food, real flesh, his own. Yes, it involves trust, faith. But yes, it also involves real food, bread, which he calls my flesh. The rest of this story comes on Thursday of Holy Week, the night Jesus was betrayed, the time before Jesus' trial, death, and resurrection, when he took bread, real bread, and he gave thanks, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, this is my flesh. This is my body of the New Testament given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way also he took the cup after supper, blessed, gave them, said, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Sacramental kind of eating. Not that we eat on flesh, but we eat spiritually, sacramentally on Jesus' body and blood. A sacramental union, as Martin Luther called it. The bread, yes. Wine, yes. Body, yes. Blood, yes. Four, all of them together, united. The meat of John 6 is not just real food, therefore it's also forgiving food. And it grants eternal life, so that one may eat of it and not die. And isn't that good news? Because bread that you eat, normally you'd have to eat again. You will die eventually, but this bread, Jesus says, which is not just normal bread, it's his flesh. You eat of that, which we know from his death and his resurrection, never dies again. That's comforting food, forgiving food, life-giving, eternal food. If anyone eats of it, he will live forever, just as Jesus died, rose, and lives forever. So, let's review what we've heard from God's Word. The meat of John 6 is not just something you hear about and so feast on by faith, but something, or better yet, someone you see. The meat of John 6 doesn't spoil. The meat of John 6 is real food. The meat of John 6 is also forgiving food, giving eternal life. We feast on this meat today by faith in the gospel that we hear in His Word. Yes. Next week, we feast on it again as we come to the Lord's table as a real family in the real presence of Christ who loves us really and truly, even coming down from heaven to be with us. The dwelling place of God is with man. As surely as He has real flesh and blood. And the bread that I give for the life of the world, Jesus says, is my flesh. So be it, Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.